God's grace to you from the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we might comfort others with the comfort we have received ourselves. Dear fellow redeemed, I have a friend of mine who did a lot of work in the neighborhoods on the north side of Milwaukee, some tough areas. And he would often walk up to people and begin conversations like this: "How goes the struggle?" It made me think, what if I would do that in the atrium before a service is here? What if I would walk up to you and clap you on the shoulder and say, "How goes the struggle?" Seems like, for whatever reason, a little weirder in church than it does on the streets. And I wondered if maybe that was because once in a while we get this unbiblical idea in our heads that Christians shouldn't have any struggles, that when we show up at church, at least, we should have shiny lives with no troubles. Well, that's just not the truth of it, is it? Nobody gets out of this life without a struggle. Nobody gets out of this life without tentatio. That's the Latin word that we're focusing on today. And tentatio means that we struggle. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about God's word and meditating on God's word. It's good for us. Of course it is. Last week, we talked about prayer. God's gift of prayer is good for us. Of course it is. But today we hear about suffering. Today we hear about not meditation or prayer, but we hear the psalmist say this: "It was good for me to be afflicted." And our goal tonight is going to be to make some sense of that and try to understand how God's gift of suffering or struggling, how that fits into his plan for building Christians. And in order to do that, we're going to ask ourselves two questions. We're going to ask, first of all, what is our struggle? And second of all, where is our struggle? First, what even is our struggle? The tentatio is a tricky word to translate, but it usually means something like it stinks. It's hard. And so maybe your struggle is something that tries your patience. Maybe your struggle is something that drains you physically or emotionally. Maybe your struggle is a temptation that keeps popping up in your life, or a sin from your past that keeps popping up in your memory. Maybe your struggle isn't a something, it's a someone. But no matter what it is, it always stinks. And struggles like this come from the evil one, from the original evildoer, the devil. And sometimes he teams up with our sinful nature inside of us to cause us problems. Sometimes he teams up with the sinful world outside to cause us problems, but they start with the devil. But once in a while, the Bible uses this word, and it says that God brings struggle. And when God steps in, he does something good with it. He does something good with it. Remember, the psalmist said this: "You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees." And that's exactly what God does. He uses struggles to teach us his word. It's a lot like how a parent tries to teach a kid. I hope a lot of you can give thanks to the Lord for loving parents like I have. When I was a baby, they brought me to be baptized, and I was saved by the Holy Spirit that day. But it's not like my parents then just said, like, "Well, this one's good, next." Of course not. The rest of my upbringing, they were doing family devotions. They were talking about the sermon on the drive home with me. They were giving me discipline when I needed it and encouragement when I needed it. And I had learned over the course of my growing up that when I got in trouble, when I had a struggle, I could count on my parents to bring me God's word. And that's what God wants to do with our struggles too, to teach us his words. And so listen to this Bible passage. It's not like God says, well, this isn't the Bible passage. Listen to this Bible passage. "The Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? You see, it's not as though, like, once you were saved and God moved into your heart, he said, okay, this one's good, now let's move on. No, he has more to teach us. And often he does it through struggles. So let's consider some examples. Let's say Satan brings some trouble in your life, and you find yourself holding the hand of someone you love in a hospice bed, someone who very soon you're going to miss. And you're not sure what good could come of this, and you don't need to know what good could come of it. But then God steps in with his word, and in that room, you hear the words of Psalm 23 like you've never heard them before. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Those are old words, words that many of us have memorized, but God's teaching you a new lesson with those old words because of a new struggle. Or let's say it's a different thing. Let's say Satan comes into your life, but not from the outside, from the inside, and you have any one of those terrible struggles that we have on the inside. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's crippling anxiety that gets the best of you on your worst days. Maybe it's the memory of a past sin that overwhelms you with guilt, or maybe it's a temptation to a new sin that you haven't kicked yet. But you can't see any way that this is going to turn out. How is God going to use my sin to do good? How is God going to use my disease to do good? And you don't need to see it. But there is an experience of God's love. There's a depth of his mercy that is only available to people who have learned to despise themselves. And so you hear the words of Romans 7 like you've never heard them before. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And God is again taking old words and teaching you new lessons because you're in the middle of a new struggle. These struggles, tentatio, they come from the devil originally, but God steps in, and even if he doesn't do good automatically with them or all right of the way with them, he uses them to push us back to meditation, to push us back to his word where he wants to teach us. And so we can understand why the psalm says it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. That's what our struggle is. Our struggle is stuff that maybe comes from a bad thing, but God uses it to teach us his word. But now we got to consider, where is our struggle? Where does it take place? Where is our struggle? See, it's on the inside. A famous author once said, the line between good and evil passes right through every human heart, but that's not the way a lot of Christians view it. See, a lot of Christians, and myself included at times, think about our struggle as us in here versus them out there. And we've got a struggle between us Christians and that society, or between us Jesus population and that LGBT population, or a struggle between us followers of the Christ and those followers of the Santa Claus. But that's just simply not what the Bible teaches about spiritual struggle. No, the Bible teaches that the line between good and evil passes right through every human heart, and so that includes mine. If you want to understand your struggle and the struggle of everyone in the whole world, it starts with taking seriously the psalm verse that says, as we read, before I was afflicted, I went astray. It starts with understanding that what's in this heart before any discipline from God, without any teaching from God, what lives in this heart naturally is every bit as evil as anything you'd find out there. And that means that the Bible says, I'm not a good person. It says, you're not a good person. It says, we're both good people and bad people at the same time. We're good people and bad people at the same time because we were born with the evil. We inherit it from our sinful nature, from our parents, but God gave us a new life and a new nature at our baptism. And when he comes to us in his word, he strengthens us in that way. And so now every day, the good part of me and the bad part of me, they struggle in here. This is the way the Apostle Paul said it. In my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind. You've seen that struggle in your life. You've seen that struggle in your own heart every time you're tempted to be a lazy parent or a disrespectful child. You've seen that struggle every time you're tempted to be a poor worker or an underachieving student. You see that struggle in your own heart when you come home from a long day and your family has given you lots of reasons not to respect them, and God calls you to struggle against that and love them anyway. You felt that struggle in your own heart when you know you need to confess a sin, but it is going to take so big a swallow of pride that it's hard to do. God wants you to struggle against that. God wants you to struggle and struggle as you lose your independence, maybe, or as you don't get the respect you deserve, maybe. And every time that the bad part of you and the inside is tempted to rise up, struggle against it. God would have us struggle and struggle until we're exhausted, because then our only hope is for him to fight for us. And he has. Our Lord Jesus has fought for us. He said in his own words, the reason the Son of Man appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And so Jesus went about fighting our struggle and winning. He faced the devil so many times in temptation and in conflict, and he won every time. And then he died innocently on the cross to crush the devil's head. And then he rose from the dead to assure us that his victory is true and it's ours. And he gave that to you. He gave that to you when he worked faith in your heart through his word, through baptism. He strengthens that in you every time you come to the Lord's Supper. And so now we know how the battle ends, how the struggle ends, where our victory comes from. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can only find out how the battle ends from God's words. Words like these. And that's why the psalmist said, the law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. More valuable than silver and gold, because when you know how the battle ends, you can struggle in a new way. When you know how the battle ends, you can say, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. And so if I ask you in the back of the atrium today, how goes the struggle? It is perfectly acceptable for you to say, exhausting. Because it is. That's the life of a Christian. A constant struggle on the inside, constant struggles on the outside. But don't forget that he has given us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. That means that we struggle with a victor's confidence. We fight our battles with a victor's courage. And we can take on new struggles with a winning smile. That's the way our Lord Jesus did it. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. I want to end with just a little story that shows you why it's a good time to struggle here in Advent. I know that in 1945, the United States declared peace with Japan after winning World War II. And the babies who were living in America at that time, they probably didn't celebrate much because they didn't really know what was going on, right? The people who had been at home, the moms and dads who stayed stateside, they celebrated with parades and they were excited because they had security, they had peace of mind. But the soldiers who had been on the front lines of the struggle, they celebrated like this. They danced in the streets, grabbed whoever they could find to celebrate with, to kiss, to celebrate, to jump up and down. those people who had experienced the struggle most severely most appreciated the peace. Well, later this week, you will see an angel. In God's word, you will see this angel come over the skies of Bethlehem and declare peace between God and man. And just like those soldiers, those people who appreciate the struggles of being a Christian will appreciate most the peace that we have with God at Christmas. And so when we see this angel come, we can be reminded that it was good for me to be afflicted. May God grant us just such an attitude to face our struggles with joy, looking forward to peace. Amen. We'll continue by gathering our offering.